B-Pod Studios.
Dynamic duo.
I'm a borderline moron.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
You are freaking Pork City.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'd expect Marcus Smart to make that play. He plays hard. I can't call that a dirty play. As unfortunate as it is, if it was a dirty play, I would have went and dove into his head. I had a pretty great look on the play. I was right up top. Maybe unnecessary, but that's the most I can call it. Unnecessary. But I can't call it a dirty play. The ball's on the floor. At every level of basketball, we're taught to dive on the floor and go after the ball. And that's what Marcus did. So I can't call it a dirty play. I will say it was probably an unnecessary dive, because if you don't go through him, then you don't get the ball, because the ball is literally in front of him. So if anything, you can say it was unnecessary, but I can't call that a dirty play.
That's Draymond Green.
Huh.
Go ahead, Jones.
Well, I thought Draymond Green said he went through him.
He did.
Oh, okay, he did say that. Oh, so he did go through him.
He didn't go through him.
Okay.
So Draymond Green's wrong about that piece too. I don't know how many times you have to see that.
Okay, well then, are we believing Draymond Green or no? Draymond Green doesn't call it a dirty play, but Draymond Green says he went through him. Like, I don't know.
I don't fully believe Draymond Green.
Okay.
No, because he's compromised.
He's compromised?
Yes, he's a warrior.
Oh,
yes.
I thought you were using that to promote that it's not a dirty play, because Draymond Green didn't call it a dirty play.
Unlike you, Jones, not everything has an agenda. I just I play the reactions from the night before, and then we react to it. That's it. That's just what Draymond Green said.
Got it. So I stopped watching Moose Ball State for a minute. I did notice something when I flipped on the replay. I decided to watch the play again, because Felger accused me of not watching it. So I did decide to watch it again. Can you describe, when do you think Curry got hurt? When do you think Curry got hurt in the whole tangling up there on the sideline? When do you think he actually got hurt?
Sort of at the end.
Yeah.
When Smart rolled
kind of
back.
When he rolled over onto him.
So what does that mean?
Well, I don't know. Is that's not dirty?
No. Well, so it took you watching it. Actually watching
it. No. I still think he dove through him, but I'm watching it again. You don't think that had part of the injury on it? No? You don't think that's part of where he rolls his ankle?
I think that's exactly where he rolled his ankle, but it's not dirty because he was going for the
rolling
ball.
Rolling over on somebody's...
Over.
I thought he didn't
that's
know where
the momentum took
I
him.
I thought you guys told me he didn't know where his feet are. He dives on top of him and then he rolls on top of him and rolls his ankle over?
He rolled his back on him. His back was on to him.
He barrel rolls him like an alligator after he dives through his ankles and he doesn't know where his ankles and his feet are?
Isn't this interesting? It's taken you 3 hours to change
your analysis.
But you have, because you know the first thing you've been saying was total garbage. And then
it's not total garbage. I agree with Draymond. He dove through his ankles, but he also rolls on top of his ankles.
You've spent the rest of the day watching East U State.
No, I'm watching Georgia State beating Gonzaga right now. But yes, I've
some meaningless, stupid college basketball game. And... so you didn't really see it, and then you did. You're like,
I guess
he didn't dive through his legs. I guess he didn't go after his legs. So now you're on to the next thing. He actually rolled over on him.
Went through his ankles and also rolled over on him. Yeah.
Okay. All right, here's Steve Kerr after the game Marcus.
So he did roll on him, though.
I don't know if he rolled on him. His feet got trapped under Marcus Smart's back.
Right, because he dove on top of his ankles and then rolled over on top of it. Yeah, exactly.
That's where the injury
That's exactly it.
Kerr from last night, please.
I thought it was a dangerous play. I thought Marcus dove into Steph's knee, and that's what I was upset about. A lot of respect for Marcus. He's a hell of a player, gamer, competitor. I coached him in the World Cup a few summers ago. We talked after the game. We're good, but I thought it was a dangerous play, and just let him know.
I was going to say shut up. I don't mind him defending the player, the player after the game. That's what all coaches do. Lobby for suspensions and say, the post game, Kerr was doing his job. The scolding Marcus during the game, the more I look at it, the more I wish someone from the Celtics went over and told him to go shut up. And even Marcus Smart, now that we've seen it the 4,000th time, Marcus sort of immediately sort of apologizing to Steph Curry or, you all right, that sort of thing. Is not an admission that was a dirty play, Jones. But what it is what this club, this NBA thing. Like you don't want to diss another superstar. And Marcus is so needing of being in that club and wanting to be in that club and think he's in that club. Marcus doesn't want to upset Steph Curry or Steve Kerr. And if I'm Marcus Smart there, I'm like, F you. If you don't want to get hurt, dive for the ball like I did. And you're not my coach, so don't talk to me. Like, I sort of wish that's the way Marcus carried himself and said it's apologize to Steph Curry and give Steve Kerr. Everyone gave Steve Kerr the time. Shut up.
I thought Smart kind of did go back at Kerr. Like, I thought he did in real time. That's why they were going back and forth. So I thought Smart went back at him. But, you know, I don't know that any of his teammates stuck up for him. It certainly didn't seem that way. I will say, Kerr saying that he's diving at his knees doesn't help Kerr's argument, because it clearly wasn't his knees. It was his ankles that he dove through, but it wasn't his knee. So I don't think that helps Steve Kerr's argument. But I thought Smart did give it back to Kerr in real time.
Arkham.
Yes?
Did Marcus Smart dive through Steph Curry's ankles?
No, I don't believe that he did.
No.
I don't think that he did. It didn't look like he did on any angle
no
that
believing.
I saw. There's no angle I saw where he did that.
This isn't about belief. it's right there, but Jones keeps saying it because, once again, he's take compromised. So there you go. There's another little reset on that play. I think it's a big deal.
Real quick, Mike, the only reason that Kerr or anybody's even talking about this today is because it's Steph Curry. If he had dove into Juan Toscano-Anderson's ankles, then it wouldn't have mattered. No one would have talked about it. Kerr wouldn't have had a big temper tantrum about it. And that's the whole – well, maybe Jones would have, but that's it. Nobody else would have cared, and nobody else would have said anything. Everybody would have said something about Smart and that jump kick 2 seconds later to Klay Thompson, though. That was absurd.
Okay, and I'm with you on that. I thought that was more – And so maybe, look, was Marcus Smart, to use your hockey analogy, Jones, because you just so want to, is it just someone out with a shift? He's taking a shift and he's just got it, you know, he's got an itch on his nose and he wants to do something dirty. And so like Tom Wilson or Brad Marchand, or, you know, they come over the boards and they say, they're just agitated and you know someone's going to get hurt because they're going to do something. And so did Marcus Smart have a shift like that? Maybe. But the diving, the play in and of itself, not dirty. Back to your phones. Here's Isaiah in Boston. What do you got, Isaiah, on the Patriots?
Hey, are the Patriots saving money for a Robert Kraft wedding or something? Because I'm trying to figure out why they're not spending any money on anything.
Like, No. I'm going to cut you off there, Jones. It's for what? Kraft's place settings?
Well, weddings aren't going to pay for themselves. It's not going to be a small reception based on the way the Patriots are treating the offseason. I would imagine invites going to probably even the Tom Brady's of the world. A lot of people invited.
So you'd make jokes about it, which is fine. But here's the fact.
Stadium upgrades.
Yeah, right. Look, here's the fact. The Pats don't want to spend the money on their team that other teams do. That's just a fact. They ranked 15th in the league in roster spending in the last collective bargaining agreement. And they had a big year last year, and so they're going to balance it out this year because they just don't want to be one of those big spending teams. And are they spending it on stadium upgrades or place settings for the wedding, or they just don't think that's a smart way to run a football team? I don't know if they spoke. Maybe they could, you know, give you some insight into that. But now it's just becoming fact. They don't want to spend on their roster like other teams spend on their roster. So whether that's right or wrong or smart or dumb, you can debate it. But that first thing is really not debatable. They spend less. On the players, look, and again, I said this before, maybe they throw Bill's salary into there and say, well, if you include our coach's salary, we spend as much as anybody. And maybe that's part of their calculus. We've got Pete in Andover on the Patriots. What do you got, Pete?
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Mike. Michael, I don't know if Adam's talked to you before about me, but I'm kind of like his buddy from the night show.
I hate this guy.
So it's funny because, you know how like people will call in and be like, oh, remember when I said this? And you're like, no, I don't remember what you were talking about. Adam, actually, he knows, like, the discussions we've had and stuff. So we kind of, you know, have a rapport. Yeah, we have a rapport going back a bit. So I enjoy that. And
okay, well, what's your point today, Pete?
Good luck.
My point was just that I know him. Point was that you always mock.
Okay, I mean, that's not much of a take. And I've never heard one of his calls because every time I turn you on, you're grab-assing about some home run.
I know. Yes, that's why I asked. Just grab asking about
it's called
home
the
runs.
Dong Report, and we're going to get that Marconi someday. Yep.
The bane of my existence, because I am that guy. I'm driving home from.
Oh, I can't stand that. I just tune back in. Oh, what else am I listening to?
No.
Home runs.
I don't tune into the Dong Report. It's just it happens to be I'm driving home from the TV studio at around 10:55, 11
That's
o'clock.
That's when it's
right. And so I'm like, do I get a little bit of? And I forget every time. It's like, oh no, We're going to play some drops from something that I don't even really get what you're doing there.
It's you like, kind of do, though.
I guess I'm not going to get 5 minutes out of this. It's, but anyway, I missed Pete's calls, unfortunately. Back to your wonderful phone calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
In our newsroom, Von Miller is 32 years old. Ian Rappaport, he turns 33 in 12 days. Nope, 10 days. He just got how much money to go to Buffalo over how many years?
Von Miller is getting a six-year deal for $120 million from the Buffalo Bills, which is a lot. That is a massive deal. However, it is backloaded, so the most important part of this deal that Von Miller is getting with the Buffalo Bills is that it is worth $17.5 million average per year over the first 4 years. That is essentially what Chandler Jones got with the Las Vegas Raiders. That said, massive, massive signing for Buffalo. Remember a couple years ago when people would talk about how free agents didn't want to come to Buffalo? Long, long, long gone. Von Miller chooses the Buffalo Bills over the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. That, my friends, is wild.
Now here comes this guy. It's not like the Bills needed Von Miller to beat you or, you know, really not even be close with you. But now they got a guy that if it is a close game and the money's on the table and the game means something, you know he's going to be a factor. He almost always is. And so that happens. It's also just got to be sort of myth-busting and, like, demoralizing for Patriots fans who've been told that if you spend big on a quarterback, you can't surround him with good talent, which is what they've been saying around here for years and years and years. And here we go, Josh Allen. Josh Allen signed, like, is it $40 million a year? I mean, his, if I read you his contract, it would knock your socks off. And so not only are they able to give Josh Allen that contract, they're then able to go out and give Von Miller 50-something guaranteed at 32 years old just to really, let's face it, it's really for 2 years is what it's probably going to be. It's probably a two-year commitment at the end of the day. So 6 years, 120, right? Like everyone knows it's not going to be that. Josh Allen, 6 years, $258 million, including a $16.5 million signing bonus, $150 million guaranteed, and an average annual value of $43
million. Yeah, I was going to say he's getting 46 in cash this year, but his cap hit's only 16. But yes, that's what he's getting.
So, right, in new money this year, it's $46.9 million. In between bonuses, salary, he's making $47 million. So, like, it's got to be demoralizing for Patriots fans who were told by the team and a lot of the reporters that the teams that signed those contracts are in trouble, that they can't surround those quarterbacks. And here they go out and sign as marquee of a defensive free agent as you could possibly get. Or the other big move today is Allen Robinson, the number one receiver on the board, goes to the Rams, who've done nothing but spend their face off, and not even wisely in some cases. They spent their face off on Brandon Cooks. They spent their face off on Jared effing Goff. And not only do they spend their face off on the wrong guy at quarterback, they move him, bring in another highly paid quarterback, and still can go out and sign the number one receiver on the market? And the answer is yes. Yes, you can. And so it's got to be if you believed that out there, that somehow the rookie quarterback, you know, allows you to spend and the big money quarterback prevents you from spending. It's like waking up and, you know, the Easter Bunny, or I don't want to know if kids are driving around in your car, but you know what I mean. Like, all of a sudden, it's like the Truman Show. You realize you've been living a lie. It's got to be tough for these people. Well, yes, Jones.
And no, I was just going to say, the Von Miller part is bad enough, and that's obvious. The Patriots are losing offensive linemen left and right. Von Miller's in your division. Like, and the scary thing is, the Bills don't even lose any sleep thinking about you. They're thinking about Kansas City and thinking about a Super Bowl. You're an afterthought to them because you can't even get them to punt. So that part is obvious. The thing about the Rams that starts to bother me the more I think about it, the Rams wanted Von Miller, right? That's everything we read.
Yeah.
So the Rams wanted him. They didn't get him, so what do? They pivot to another big ticket player. The Patriots aren't getting anybody. Where's the pivot? Like, what are they going to pivot to anything? Are they? Do they have a backup plan? Like, I know Bill's so detail-oriented, and he's got plans A through Z, and he'll zig when everybody else zags. But, like, where's Bill's pivot? The Rams pivoted. They wanted Miller. They got outfoxed for him, or the Bills gave him more, or they weren't comfortable extending that far. So they pivoted to Allen Robinson. When is the Patriots' pivot coming? Like, what are they waiting for?
They're not going to. They don't want to spend in this free agent class.
Who have they even been in on?
And the Rams do, and that's what it comes down to. I even heard a single guy that they've been in on.
Good question.
Right? Like, there was a report 2 days ago that Lael Collins, that tackle in Dallas, if he shakes free, New England would be interested or be a landing spot.
Yep.
He got released today. And within, I don't know, 2 minutes, there was a tweet from Andrew Callahan or someone saying he's not coming here.
No, yeah, it was Andrew Callahan. He's like 0% chance.
It's like, so I scratched it. I don't even think they've been in on anyone. It's true, Arkent.
I also just saw...
Well, Matthew Judon's been in on a lot of people. They haven't.
Matthew Judon's working his ass off, but nobody else is. Mark Daniels also tweeted this. He said, for those wondering, the Patriots have not shown any interest in Jarvis Landry. And it's like... Jarvis Landry, I think, would be a great fit here. I think you should at least show a little bit of interest. Like, you don't have to go out and sign him. Could you show some interest? Could we be in on somebody? Could there be any kind of buzz for any of these guys? I haven't heard them brought up in any of these big names. The only people who are bringing it up is reporters saying, yeah, this guy would be a good fit. No one's actually reporting that the Patriots are even kicking the tires on any of these guys. Yeah. And that sucks.
So we continue with your thoughts. That's the list. Oh, and by the way, Joe Judge is apparently telling the people that he goes and scouts that he's the quarterback coach this year. Because that was reported that he scouted some quarterback today from literally Moose Ball Sack State. It's Jones is watching it. They're also in the NCAA. Jones is watching that on TV right now.
Richmond's about to beat Iowa,
They scouted a quarterback today, and apparently that was being reported out there that the Patriots quarterback coach was there scouting the player, and it was Joe Judge. So they're either presenting him as the quarterback coach, or he's telling the schools that he's the quarterback coach, or whatever. He's the quarterback coach. How does that taste, top of everything else? All right, back to your thoughts. We've got Mike in Boston. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I just think that the biggest aggravation about the Patriots is that it's almost like a case of you can't teach an old dog some new tricks, because Robert Kraft is so used to Bill Belichick being able to take a pile of crap and turn it into a birthday cake that he's waiting for him to take whoever he has on the team right now and make him into a Super Bowl contender. And something that bothers me is that before they got rid of Tom Brady for 15-plus years, football teams had to adjust to the way the Patriots played football. It was because of the way Bill was able to strategize to Tom Brady's work ethic. It was just unmatched. So, but now they're starting to realize that they have to adjust to the league because there's so much more talent now and everybody else is willing to pay for it and they're not.
So let me just cut you off. Will their egos allow them to adjust? I mean, and again, I think the philosophy on spending is the number one thing by far. But then also their ego. Like, do they still think the Patriot way is the way, and why would we deviate? We're so successful with it. When they haven't really quite adjusted to the fact that Brady was a massive part of that. It was Brady, not their system. Do you think they even realize that yet?
No. I mean, they should, but I don't think they do. I don't think they do at all. So I think it's becoming clear to a lot of people around here that that's the case. But I don't think they get it. What honestly would make you believe they get it?
I mean, last year, maybe.
So I was going to say, maybe a little bit the way they spent last year, maybe. But no, I think they're right. They're like, we won 10 games. We're back. We got it all figured out. Patriot way.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it. Even though, as I came to today, last year's free agency splurge was a fake splurge. Bill in the car. Go ahead, Bill.
Jones, have you ever played basketball in your life?
Sure.
The first thing you're taught is to get on the ground, dive after the ball.
Oh God, how many people have said this?
That is not the first thing you're taught.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely not the first thing.
The first thing about
they teach you lots of other things first.
The first thing you thought about. Why are they wearing all these pants and knee pads if they're not going to get down on the ground?
Well, they don't wear knee pads anymore. That's where you won the bulk of your championships is when players did wear knee pads, but thank you for that.
But I don't understand what's relevant. No. You're taught to dive on the ground for the ball, not for ankles. So, yeah, that's the difference. Yes, you're taught to dive for the ball.
Even though you've adjusted to how he got hurt.
I didn't adjust anything. I'm asking you. Did you see that part of it?
Yeah, his momentum carried him through, Jones. He hit the deck, and he was rolling because he was hitting the deck.
He rolled the opposite way. But anyway, that's not even my point. He dove at his ankles.
He dove at the ball.
He just made up another thing. He didn't roll the opposite way. What are you talking about?
He rolls the opposite way of where his momentum's taking him. Yes, he does.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
He rolled right into his momentum. Wrong. Another one that you're just seeing what you want to see. Yeah, we've got Josh and Hudson on this. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. Yeah, that caller was 100% right. And Jones, I mean, when you're thinking about it, he dove at the ball. He's not looking at Curry's ankles going, oh, I'm going to dive right at his ankles to make sure that I hurt him. And that's the thing. His momentum took him that way. He was going after the ball first. And the only reason why this is even a discussion about the play is because it is Steph Curry. And that is it. If it was any other play in the NBA, this would not even be talked about. It would be, that was a hell of a play by Marcus Smart diving on the ground again. And that's
well,
it.
That doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, stars get treated differently, and we do
he
that.
He also kicked the guy
sport.
In the nuts 2 seconds later, so I think that's part of it too, but sure.
I don't know where to go with that. The kick out on the drive was cheap and was more worthy of scoring than diving on the deck, and Steph Curry not, and that's why he got hurt. I mean, I would agree with that. Here's a update from Arcand, and then we have only one segment left with Jones. Aww. And Arcand, and I say that only because I'm going to miss them. I wish we had more, but there's just one left. Go ahead, Chris.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Today.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, something else to add? I know.
Something different here.
Okay.
Yeah. The one of the top free agents left on the board now has a new home. Allen Robinson is headed to the Los Angeles Rams, the reigning Super Bowl champions. Get him on what I'm told is a 3-year, $46.5 million deal that includes $30.7 million fully guaranteed. This is a huge deal for Allen Robinson, for a Rams team that, remember, last season got Odell Beckham Jr. for their Super Bowl run. Odell tears his ACL again in the Super Bowl. Odell currently a free agent. Of course, Robert Woods also going to be coming off of an ACL. They have Cooper Kupp, one of the most productive receivers in the league. But a day after, the Rams missed out on Von Miller, who ended up signing with the Buffalo Bills, stunning LA, which acquired him last year from Denver. They make their own massive move, a 3-year big-time deal for Allen Robinson with the defending champs.
All right, so I don't know if you harbored any delusions of grandeur on that one. Do you think, Jones, that there's another shoe to drop, that the Pats are going to do something? We're just waiting to see what it is?
Well, not anything big, no. Like, I actually was just saying this off the air to Arcand last night, or our last segment. Like, you know, it's amazing some of the names that have dropped down. Like, the targets at the beginning of free agency are like, maybe they'll make a run at Allen Robinson. Maybe they'll make a run at this guy. I was just kind of reading something from Phil Perry, and I'm not knocking his reporting about some of the names that are available. But, like, we're now talking, like, some real bargain basement guys out there in free agency. And, like, no, I don't think the other shoe is going to drop on a big ticket move. Maybe they'll make a smattering of Patriots-level moves, more Terrence Mitchells, more Ty Montgomery's. But, like, no, not a big ticket move, no.
What kind of team do you think they're going to have next year?
They should be worse. Don't all these teams that go out and spend, and I've said this a million times, but don't all these teams that go out and spend, they get the 1 year shot in the arm, and then the next year they tail off. So, like, well, a bunch of teams have done that.
Sure, providing you don't spend the next year, or if you're the Rams, you just keep adding to your roster and never have a, you know, they've been good for 5 or 6 years and they've been spending for 5 or 6 years.
Let me rephrase. The top spender on the market has usually dropped back off the next year after going out and if you will, blowing out their budget, even though the Patriots clearly could spend more than they are. Those teams have traditionally dropped back. So, yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they took a step back. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Mac Jones took a step back. He was awful at the end of the year. And, you know, quarterbacks don't always get better. Growth is not always linear. You're not X year one, and then you move on to, you know, the next step year two. Like, plenty of guys drop off after year one. You know who was awesome as a rookie? Baker Mayfield was awesome as a rookie. And he's gone up and down like every other year. He's had some good years. He's taken a step back. Like, growth is not always linear, so I would not be surprised at all if they don't take a step back. They've gotten worse on paper.
Yeah, I mean, whatever growth we have from Mac Jones is going to be all from him. It's not like there's going to be coaches there.
Well, right, that too.
You know, in fact, he needs to coach the coaches. So it's not like he's going to get coached up any better. And it's not like it doesn't look like the pass catchers are going to be much better. Maybe there's a little bit of more familiarity in year two that helps him. But I think on balance, any move is going to be all on him. It's not like he's going to be getting any help. I don't think they're giving him any help. The offensive line's probably going to be worse, don't we think?
Yes.
I mean, they're worse personnel-wise. So it's like I don't know how he gets better other than just his pure, you know, in a vacuum, his improvement. Nothing else is going to get better around him, it doesn't look like.
I'm shocked they haven't signed a receiver. Not a good one. Like, I'm not shocked they didn't sign Allen Robinson. I'm shocked they haven't brought in anything. And it's not to say I know eventually they'll bring something in. I'm shocked we're in day two. It's real free agency now. It's not, it's legal tampering. It hasn't even started yet. No. It's day two. And they haven't even brought in a receiver, which I personally felt was their biggest position of need. I'm shocked they haven't even sprinkled any of those, again, scattershot moves that they made. They haven't signed one free. They've only signed two guys off other teams. That's it.
Back to your phones, Mike and Norwell. What do you got, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Honestly, I feel like Bill's just rolling over, and he's just so satisfied. He wants Steve to take his job. I played lacrosse with the kid. Jesus Christ. But why can't they sign, like, a Cordell Patterson, you know, like, anybody like that? There's plenty of dudes on the market that they can
Well, they did. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm not sorry. Cordell Patterson. This Ty Montgomery is a kick returner, he's a receiver, he's a running back, he's a four-down player, which Bill, like, whips it out for.
Yeah, no, the fourth down. Those. On fourth down, on special teams, that's what he is. He's a special teams player.
Well, he's also played running back and receiver, so if he wants to play all four downs, he has experience playing all four downs, which I wouldn't be surprised if Bill's ever asked about this player. He'll talk about him being a four-down player. There's good value in four-down players. Never mind, he sucks on all four downs. He's not good on any of the four. He's played them. But I gave you my prediction on Ty Montgomery earlier. Won't make it out of camp, cut or hurt, or both. Marcus, smart thought from Ryan in the North End. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Jones, you're making me feel like we're watching like different clips or highlights of the
right
play. I've been listening to it all day. I had to call in. He does absolutely not dive through any ankles or knees. Right? It was not a dirty play at all. He's simply just making, like, the, you know, the over the top hardo Marcus Smart kind of bulldog play.
Okay,
but that's
right
to be expected. He takes the charges, he's flopping all over the floor. But on this play, and Felger, you know, you were wrong on this, he does feel Curry there, because that's why he's diving for the ball. But I'm watching it right now in real time. He's diving next to him, and then as he's securing the ball, he slightly turns over and he barely rolls up on Curry's ankle. And that was it. The only people on the entire planet that think it's a dirty play is Steve Kerr and Jones. So I don't understand where the Jones, if you just, like, woke up on the wrong side of the bed or what?
No,
like,
it wasn't
a dirty play.
No, I think he did know where his ankles were. I think he did dive through them. I think he did, instead of rolling away from Curry, he rolled on top of him. So no, I think it's a dirty play. I don't give the Marcus Smarts of the world the benefit of the doubt on a bang bang. I wouldn't give it to Bruce Bowen on a dirty play like that, a bang bang play, an unnecessary play, like whatever it is that Draymond Green called it. Yeah, no, I don't give him the benefit of the doubt. Sorry.
So, but
I'm not as charitable.
I feel your pain out there, folks. Like, if you haven't seen it and you've been driving around today and listened to Jones describe the play, and then you actually watch it, it doesn't add up. It's like, is he talking about the same play? Because he's he's making things up or seeing what he wants to see. As I've said today, it doesn't your description of the play and what happened doesn't jibe.
Okay,
but that's okay. I mean, that's what
it doesn't jibe.
That's what it means
Fairfelger says it doesn't jibe, so it doesn't jibe.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, it took us a while to get there, but I agree. As long as Felger says it doesn't jibe, it doesn't jibe.
I'm not held hostage by my takes like you have.
No, you agree with all the green teamers calling in and the guy in the literal green team shirt over here across from me. Yes.
That's right.
Where do I get one of those, Jones, by the way? That's sweet. Tom and Newton. Go ahead, Tom. What do you got?
Guys, I just want to weigh in on Bill Belichick's attitude. I mean, I feel like he's still kind of coaching this thing like it's the Brady Patriots where, you know, they just figure it out and he'd bail them out. I mean, they couldn't get teams to punt last year. You got offensive linemen leaving, brain drain on the coaching staff. I mean, at this point, their coaching staff is like Bill, his son, and his buddy's kid. Like, I don't know what version of the Patriots he's looking at. Like, they're an afterthought in the AFC at this point. Like, there's no impact free agent signings. There's no help on wide receiver, like, you know, one of their biggest glaring positions of need for a while now. There's no reason to think he's going to draft well at that position. I don't know what he's banking on happening, but it's not looking good. I just don't know where his mind at is on this.
No, I've been saying this for weeks. Last offseason was different. This offseason, they're back operating like Brady was here, and the division is a bunch of clowns. And what? For 20 years, you didn't have a single quarterback in this division. And hardly a coach that knew what he was doing for 20 years. So, like, you really could, for those 20 years, you know, any of these things that have happened this offseason. We don't have a coach? We'll figure it out, and they'll screw it up. We don't have players at this position? We'll figure it out, and they'll screw it up. We're fine. And that's how they carried themselves for 20 years, and they were usually right because Brady was so good, the division was so bad, and Bill was such a good coach. Like, that's part of the formula. But they're still sort of operating like that's the case. Like, Brady's still here and the division still sucks. It's like, are they acting like a team that's in the chase position?
Well, and
any way, shape, or form?
You making the point about the second thing is fair too, because I make the Brady one a lot because I think it's right. I mean, I think they don't realize what Brady did for it. At least Bill doesn't realize what Brady did for them. But the Bills are legit. Like, I don't even think Belichick gets that. And I think some of that is illustrated. Maybe he's changed his mind a little bit, or he realizes, you know, how ridiculous he sounded calling out Josh Allen before that Monday night game a couple of years ago. Yeah. Monday night, right?
Yeah.
Primetime game, whatever it was. And, like, he still doesn't even think Josh Allen or the Bills are that good. Like, they couldn't even get him to punt, and he doesn't even think the division is for real. Like, it's crazy.
Anthony is in Medway. He's up next with Felger, Jones, and Arcan. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to say... do you guys feel like destination cities, the LAs and the, you know, the Brooklyns of the world, do you guys feel like that's affecting all these free agency signings? They want to be in Vegas. They want to be in LA.
Hey, Anthony, let me stop you. Have you ever been to Buffalo?
The division is for real.
Okay, he's not answering.
How about Jacksonville? Hasn't Jacksonville spent more than anybody this offseason?
Oh, yeah. They're going crazy.
If you've ever been to Buffalo.
Bengals made some moves.
You would never put destination, and you know, the place is Beirut. It's just, I mean, really. So no, what makes you a destination in the NFL is money, and in some rare cases, maybe a guy wants to go play with a certain quarterback, or he likes a certain coach, or whatever. But the first and last thing in football primarily is always money. Basketball is different because the money's equal. It's all slotted. There's max contracts, and you can only make so much. And so then it all comes down to everything else. In football, it's just the opposite. Everything else comes second to the money because money's so hard to come by in that league, guaranteed money. So, no. If the Pats were spending, they'd be landing players. Pat in Rhode Island, wrap us up today. What do you got, Pat?
Sure. Hey, Felger. I got a new take here. So I'm just as confused as all Patriots fans, but I don't think Belichick's dumb. And what I'm proposing is that by Brady unretiring, Belichick has taken another shot at cementing his legacy as the Patriots' success was due to him and not Tom Brady finding ways to win with these random names.
So he's purposely given himself a crappy roster. So when he wins, it's beyond a doubt that it's about the coaching of Bill Belichick.
Great.
I mean,
that may be what's happening, but that sucks.
No, honestly... There's a little bit of
I was going to say, on some level, don't you agree with that? Because we're just talking about how he doesn't want the superstar. Yes. Like, on some, I think he's maybe going a little extreme, but on some level, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think Bill wants to give himself a bad roster, but he might willingly make it a little worse to make it more about him. Yeah.
Bill doesn't like superstar players. He doesn't like what they make. He doesn't like the leverage they have in his locker room. They don't. He doesn't like the deference that they get from the fans or from anyone else. The whole thing is superstar players are a pain in his ass, an expensive pain in his ass. And he'd rather win with good soldiers at a good price, for sure. I mean, but don't you think most coaches are like that? I mean, I think most coaches are like that. They just don't act on it the way this guy does. This guy actually does act on it. It's crazy. All right, the final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
To learn more.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tires. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices, great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody
beats Town Fair. Thank you very much.
Jeez. I wish we had the Mimecast thing today. The emails today for Jones are just priceless.
Oh yeah,
amazing.
What happened? We didn't get to hear the emails today.
Mimecast. It's not. They do some weeks and not others. Thankfully for Jones, this is not one of their weeks.
It's a shame we don't get to hear the emails. Oh boy.
Well, on the plus side,
all the green teamers, including Felger and Arcan.
While Jones was upsetting all the green teamers who were emailing Felger, he was also very much upsetting Felger. Felger versus Jones. Here we go.
You want to pick that apart? You think the Bucks are a better defensive team than the Celtics?
No, I think the Celtics are legitimate defensively, and I think they can match up against a lot of these teams.
Why are you chirping about Wiggins?
Because I'd like to see them go against the team at full strength. That's all. I give them full credit when they do. When they beat Memphis, I gave them full credit. It's just a lot of
these. Are the Celtics an elite defensive team?
I just said that. Yes, I just said the defense is legit.
Period.
Okay, but I'm talking about the win, Felger. I'm talking about the actual W. Like, yes, their defense is 100,000% legitimate. I've been saying that for months. I'm
period
not questioning
paragraph.
That.
Okay. Talk about Wiggins.
I'm talking about the outcome. We're talking about two different things. I'm talking about the outcome. They're down two all-stars.
Oh, I see. So you moved on. Okay. Well, fine.
I didn't move on. That's what I've been talking about the whole time.
Well, no. I mean, at least, so again, championship legit defensively, better than any other team pretty much that they're going to face defensively, period, paragraph. True or false?
Yeah. True.
Okay, done.
Offensively, I don't know. Defensively, sure.
You see, you can't help yourself. Listen, have you watched the play, Jones?
Yes.
Are you sure Marcus Smart even knew that Steph Curry was there?
Yes.
I mean,
I don't think he knew he was there. He was covering him. He's following around the court the whole time. You don't think he knew he was there?
If you watch NBC Sports Boston, can you guys roll in again? Like a full?
Yeah, you don't go through people's ankles to do it.
Why not?
He didn't know his ankles were there.
He knows where he is. I reject that whole idea that he doesn't know where he is on the floor.
I reject your rejection.
Well, that's fine. Then I guess we're at a rejecting standoff, I guess, yes. But I reject it. Yeah.
Jones, he knows he's in the neighborhood, but bang, bang, he doesn't know that he's down there and his ankles are going to be in the way of the ball.
Okay, fine. So let's defend. He didn't know his feet were going to accidentally kick Klay Thompson in the nuts, too? Like, I don't get why we're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
You know, I mean, and not that you would. You're too compromised. And the Marcus Smart thing's right kind of in the middle of it. It's a big NBA story. Jones and Arcan in studio. Jones is dying to make some sort of chirpy background comment. Just go. Just do it.
I'm not. What? What was I? What was I going to say?
I guess it. Just do it. Just get out of the way.
I don't have any chirpy back. I was just saying that now you're three or four segments in. You're getting that Steph Curry not playing in that game. That's a pretty significant loss for Golden State because he is in fact one of the best players in the league. That's all.
George and Winthrop. Go ahead, George. You're up next with Felger, Maz, Jones.
Listen,
He did not go through his legs to get there, Jones. He did not go through his legs to get there.
Yes, he did. That's how he rolled over his ankle.
Roll it again. Let's see it again. Did he go through his legs to get the ball? Did he go through his legs?
Did he go around him? How did he hit his leg?
They were both going for the ball, and they collided.
He didn't go through his legs?
Yes, he did.
His legs were on his back. He didn't go through the legs. The legs were on the side of him.
Well, he didn't go around him.
They were on the side of him, Jones. He did not go through his legs. All right, seriously.
That's only a small sample, too, by the way.
Oh, I know. I know. There was one thing I wanted to pick up in there, but I forgot what it was.
Was it when you were so flustered to go to the caller?
Oh, no. Here's what it is. Is that because I have the headset on, I can hear every time that you, sigh, sort of, laugh to yourself. The audience probably can't hear it in their car or wherever. But because I got the headset on, I can hear every one of your little sighs and chirps and little annoying little vocal.
It's like one of your superpowers.
Whatever.
It's like one of your superpowers. You can hear it's like my wife only hears my under my breath comments. It's like you can hear every little breath on the other end.
You got to learn to tune those out, Mike. That's what I do.
Well, no, I Chris, I don't know how you do it because it's like
just switch off.
Instead of doing that, underneath, why don't you just wait for me to finish and then talk? Speak.
No,
use your words, Jones.
I know. Honestly, I'm a little insulted you're not treating me like a man. It's a little bit what I've been insulted by today.
And that's an inside joke referring to another thing we talked about. Now we have to explain your humor, which is another thing.
Nope.
If you weren't listening at 3:30, no one has any idea what you're talking about.
I get it. There's never any inside jokes on this show. Yes, yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.